Right, hello everybody, and welcome to this special PBIC teleclass and whatever Bill wants to use it for as well. Because today I'm doing just a shortish chat with my good friend Bill Goss. And Bill, as you guys will know if you've listened to previous teleclasses, Bill is my printer, publisher guy. He's helped me print and publish all my books. And he's basically me and Bill. I thought what I thought would be interesting, Bill, is tell you what, Bill, you quickly introduce yourself, tell everyone, say hello, and tell everyone who you are and what you do on the back of a napkin.
Sure. Hi, I'm Bill Goss. Yes, I run a company called the Elite Publishing Academy. And yeah, as Dom says on the tin, we print and publish people's books, really. Simple as.
That was it. I just wanted to get verification that I wasn't telling lies. But what I thought we'd do, Bill, is for a bit of a change, because we've done a number of different book chats in the past, you know. Yeah. And yourself and I, we often we catch up 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 times a year or something, don't we, you know, on the phone. And we chew the business fat. And we tell each other what's happening and what's working and what isn't, etc. So I thought it would be good. And I do similar things with when I meet up with Alex, a video guy, and we do chat and stuff. And some of that spills over into the podcast. But I thought for a change, it might be a good idea to do a bit of a kind of what's working now type conversation just between me and yourself. And it'll give the guys a bit of an insight into, you know, the what goes on behind the scenes almost, you know, and maybe it's a bit of the sort of strategic thinking and stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Like it.
Excellent. Okay, cool. So, so give us a, we're in sort of early March as we record this. Give me a bit of an overview as to how the year started out for you and if it's done what you wanted.
Yeah. It's gone extremely well.
Fabulous, mate. I'm delighted to hear it.
Thank you. Business turnover wise, that's down to several factors, I believe. I believe that I've done a bit of good marketing. Loyal clients as well, as always, you know, people believing in you and wanting more from you as well, which is quite good. So yeah, the start of it has been very good, actually. Better than I, you know, when you all plan it all out and jot it around and stuff. And I, you know, again, this year I had grand plans to do stuff from the back of last year, the confidence that last year gave me as well. So far, so good. But it's like, I think, you know, got to keep them wheels in motion.
For sure. It's good stuff. So good, really good to hear it, pal. And so what specifically have you done? Touch upon a couple of things that you mentioned there. So one was, what was the first thing? The other one, what second thing was loyal clients.
Yes.
Which is obviously another way of saying that is repeat business, isn't it? You know,
and yeah.
A huge part of anybody's business, though, and often overlooked.
And I've done that before. Yeah. So yes, it's also going to people and asking them a few simple questions, such as, "What else can I do for you? Do you think? How can I help you?" I know it sounds crazy and a bit cheesy, people, but I tell you what, them little magic words of "What else do you do?" or "What else, you know, what else could I help you with?"
Can you give us an example of how asking a question like that has opened another door for you?
So a publisher that I've worked with for, God knows, 8, 9 years, said to me, "Oh, Bill, I've seen you doing all your stuff on like Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn and stuff. Tell me a little bit more about that." So they actually asked me the question directly. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't me going out to them. And I'll give you another example in a minute. And then I said, "Oh, well, we're doing more of this side of things. We're helping people kind of market their books more and better and kind of doing that." "Oh, I'll be interested in that." "Oh, okay, cool." Very simple.
Yeah.
There was no sales pitch needed, you know, no sales pitch needed. So therefore, old Luggins here, so he thought, "Oh, I'll just ask a few more people about that. Hi, Dom, did you know we're doing da-da-da-da-da?" "No, I didn't, Bill, actually. Tell me a little bit more." Not everybody was interested, by the way. Don't get me wrong.
Not everybody ever will. Never happens like that. Yeah.
No, but it was literally just as anyone would, a few conversations of, "Oh yeah, I'll be interested in that," and a little Zoom call or a Skype call later, showed them what I was on about, and it was either, "Oh yeah, we're interested in that," or, "Oh, maybe not for now." "Okay, cool." You know, but that's kind of, again, from the loyal customer base that already know, like, trust you. Really easy, if you like, sell, which has helped, as you know, is the honest answer. Because they know you and they know what you've done, whether you've worked with them for 2 years, 10 years, it's irrelevant, really. the trust is there, isn't it? And it's a case of they're willing to give you a go with what, you know, so we're branching out more with the marketing side of things for our clients. That's kind of helped the business move along very quickly, to go back to your initial question. So.
Yeah, no, for sure. And so have you, I can ask that question in a moment. What was the other thing that you said I can't quite remember.
A bit marketing.
Okay. No, just doing more stuff basically then, yeah?
Doing more effective stuff. Yeah, being very consistent in that. Not doing it all on my own as well, which is a big lesson learned for many a thing, because I think we all think that the more we do, the better we are, but realistically, the old classic, stick to what you're good at. My forte has always been in front of people, if you like, you know, talking to them. Smoozing sounds like a right old salesy thing, but no, as in, that's what I enjoy that the most as well. I enjoy giving people the bigger picture, showing them, demonstrating to them what we can do. But that's where my, you know, I've got limitations. I can set a strategy out, if you like, you know, without getting too salesy about it. No problems, but you need really good people to fulfill that, especially if you're offering different services and higher level services to what we've done before and what we're known for. Is getting people in.
So is this, have you outsourced? Have you took people on to do this or what?
Both. Yeah, because all, in my opinion, all the best people are either self-employed themselves or have their own businesses in that respect. So therefore there's a bit of outsourcing going on. There's other people that are really good as well, don't get me wrong, that are like the idea of employment, the safety net, which is absolutely cool. So not everybody wants to do what we do, mate, you know.
No, absolutely not, no.
Hair and stuff. not everybody's into
put my hoodie up so you can't see my bald patch. Like Emperor Palpatine now.
Exactly, mate. It's that little mix. And I think also, I must admit, I've been thinking about it for a while, and as we spoke before, with my well-documented business failure like four or five years ago, that I was reluctant to do that. I was kind of like, I'll just build it all on my own again, which I have very nicely. But then again, to move forwards again, you have to take a little bit of leap of faith. You have to instruct the people. Outsourcing is brilliant, by the way. Absolutely recommend that. And we'll always do that. I don't want like a massive office full of people, but I do want good people, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And it's kind of essential, isn't it? Sorry, go on, carry on.
No, the same. I'm just building my tribe up. That's all I'm doing.
Yeah, but slowly building your tribe, yeah. I guess from thinking about what you do, certainly what you've done in the past, is always to some degree been dependent on some staff, hasn't it? I would imagine, yeah, with the production of the books and stuff, you know. So that wouldn't have been as you've said yourself you have resisted it in the past, still moving, bringing more people in or outsourcing. I think certainly from my guy's point of view, taking that step where they go from being, you know, a sole trader, doing everything, it's a massive step. Well, it's almost the difference between growing and not, isn't it? You know, because you're literally, you're going to, I mean, even if you haven't done this yourself, you must see this a lot with other businesses, mustn't you? You know?
Yeah, I see it all the time. Obviously, people come to me with their books and again, I look at people that are doing, if you like, I'm talking from a financial point of view. So, you know, personal life, whatever, I'm not sure. But from their business point of view, they are doing what they said they do. If you're like, they're really smashing it. And you look at what they've done, and they have outsourced. Not necessarily got this massive team around them necessarily at the time, but look at their steps forwards. Was, you know, we can only do so much, regardless of how brilliant you think you are. And I know there's a lot of arrogant people out there that think I can do everything all on my own. You can to a certain level, of course. Then that to me then questions the level of growth within your mindset a little bit.
And
that's been my battle slightly. So people listening to this might be thinking, well, oh, it's all right for you type thing. Well, it's not, because again, it's a case of, it's that level of growth of, you know, I've been able to build businesses quite well on my own, yes. A certain level, yes. But then again, you need good people around you. And I think you don't have to employ someone on 50 grand a year, 100 grand a year. You can outsource. Yes, it's going to cost you a little bit more, but then you don't have to worry about NI and all the other stuff that goes with it. So I would highly recommend anybody listening to this is, if they are at that level and they know when they're working stupid o'clock, all day, every day. You're not going to get a hero badge from it. We've all been there. You don't win any awards from that. I would just say, like, what's more important sometimes is it, you know, is it your family life, your personal life, as well as a business? We know the business will give you the trappings that you want it to be if you want it to be successful. But then you know, something's going to give somewhere along the line. You know, we all know that. So if they're at that level of growth at this moment in time, or position of growth, I would always say, look, go and speak to some people that, say, for example, like a marketing company or a packaging company, I don't know, whatever, and just get some prices from them. There's always room for negotiation. There's always a trial period. There's always a little bit of a thing. I know, you know, going from a business point of view, don't expect everything overnight either. You know, I think people say, well, I've invested £1,000 in you, for example. Give me.
Yeah.
I would be very sceptical with whatever levels of investments you're going to put in, whether it's £100 or £100,000, is just be smart with your partnerships so far.
Yeah. And you think it, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I just want to say, I think it, for me, it starts with, before even taking on the staff, you know, obviously if you want to scale, if you want to, for my guys, you know, groomers, walkers, trainers, whatever, daycare owners, if you want to scale and help, have more of an impact with your skills, ultimately you are going to have to find a way to replicate yourself, aren't you? You know, so you're going to have systems and people to come in. But before that, just like, just get rid of the stuff that you're not very good at, you know, like, or the stuff that you hate, you know, like for me, it's numbers and the accountancy stuff, you know, so like always had an accountant, like never mind. I've just gone VAT Limited. We're going to go a limited company over the next couple of months. Yeah. And it's like, that's been like a massive shell out for me again, you know, but like, I couldn't care less because I'd, you know what I mean? I just know I'd fuck it up, you know, but even on a smaller scale than that, like my quarterly newsletter, did you get on the post, Bill? Have I sent you one of them or not?
Yeah.
You know, I don't, a lot of my guys, they like doing it. They like doing the Canva and putting it together and stuff. Yeah. I just pay my local printer like £50 to format the fucking thing for me and make it look brilliant, you know? And like, I'd never consider something like that a cost, you know? It's just like, it frees me up. And I think, sorry, to contradict myself a little bit. If you're somebody listening who, You might like doing your figures, or you might like doing your new, you know, putting your newsletter together. But if you ultimately, it's not where you, what your superpower is. You know, your superpower is going to be doing other things, isn't it? You know,
I completely agree, mate. I think that's, if you like, what I've stagnated with the company as well. I look at it as a bit of a kick in the balls sometimes. When I've tried to do everything to everything, it stagnates the company. It also annoys clients sometimes you've sold them something, for example, whatever it is, whether it be a, you know, whatever, to a thing. If you're not producing what they think they're getting, then there's a level of patience with people. Then again, you're going to start stressing yourself out. You know yourself, and you know, I've had plenty of talks when I've kind of started this different side, if you like. I mean, obviously, it's still, but it completely bolts onto what we do. So I'm not trying to
reinvent the wheel. Yeah.
It's the same thing. We're all using the book or the guide as a lead generation tool. And we're just adding to that. But when, as you know, when we, you know, I kind of started putting this out about 18 months ago, wasn't it? It sounds very cocky, this, but it's very easy for me to get the people in, really easy in a way, because I know what people want. I'm a small business owner myself. I know what the results that people want. I know the levels of investments that people probably are willing to put in. That isn't the problem. Getting the clients in isn't the problem. It's actually delivering on what you say you're going to do. And I really, you know, at one point, you know, it was like, it's proper stressing me out. Because again, I was trying to do most of it all myself. I don't know why. Just, I knew I was doing it. I could do the majority of it, don't get me wrong. Then it comes to a point, I was like, actually, what are you doing, Bill? Because then your eye gets off the ball with what you're doing pretty good at. Was you've got 5, 6, 7 clients paying you X amount per month. Well, why don't you just go get another 6 or 7 clients?
Yeah.
And then you're going to see all the mindset thing of probably being greedy, if you like, deep down or something, or trying to keep hold of stuff, or I don't know. But
so are you saying that you were physically you were capable of taking on more of these clients?
Yeah.
But you just didn't have the capacity, or what? Is that what you mean? Or?
At the time, I think what it was, because it happened very, as you know, you and I both had that conversation, it happened quite quickly to get 5, 6, 7 clients. And by the way, people listen to this might think, well, that's not a lot of clients, but what we were doing was a lot. I mean, you're talking a lot of investment in time. You're marketing somebody's expertise, basically.
Yes,
albeit in a book form, but obviously with all the social media
everything
stuff
that comes
out there,
with it,
got all the direct mail stuff that we do, there's a lot of time and effort put in. So, and that was a big thing for me. It was a bit like, actually... And then I let a couple of clients go, and then one actually left as well, which is fair enough. And then that kind of gave me a little bit of breathing space, because obviously I've got the book publishing side and the book printing side, which is, does well, because that's quite easy marketing for me, if that makes sense. And then to reevaluate it again 6 months or so ago, it's made it stronger and better, because like we said, you know, if you multiply yourself or get skill sets in that are better than yours, could, you know, I've got some great copywriters, amazing, you know, content ghostwriters. Yeah. I've got, you know, got good kind of funnel making people that do stuff for me as well. I have six, of course, it's the Bill Goss factor of like, yeah, I love this, love this. It's a very formulaic view. I don't care what, if you're selling, you know, whatever you're selling, dog grooming things, or you're selling some high-end dentistry thing, I don't really care. The process of, is, us people are the same. There might be different elements to that, of course, as we know. But realistically, you're trying to get people to do something at the end of the process, whether it's a phone call, a demo, I don't know, book an event. So, you know, it's pretty simple stuff at the end of the day, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, totally, totally, yeah. And so what does the... All right, two questions. Yeah. What does the sort of, because we just finished like first quarter, I guess, haven't we, of the of 20, what are we in, 20? And so what's next? Are we, is it more a case of repeating what we've done? Are you adding more stuff on?
Or I think it's a case of always learning, obviously, learning what's working, learning what's not, bringing new skill sets as well into what I'm doing anyway, and definitely just trying to, yeah, as you, if people don't know me, I love, like most of people do, you love creating something that's good. It's got to be good that people speak it for you, not because you're saying it yourself. So I'm in that kind of mode at the moment of doing it hopefully the right way. I think we want to bring on another 3 or 4 clients per quarter. So we're not talking huge numbers here, by the way. But at the end of the year...
But they will make a big difference numbers-wise, won't it?
Hugely. Yeah, of course. And then it's the retainership as well, because most people do stick with us for a long time, really. So it's not a case of we put people in this long contract. We do ask for 3 months originally, because... It does take time, you know. Even if you invest in 50 quid into Facebook advertising, you know, spend it wisely, because, you know, it soon goes, really does go very quickly. So, hopefully for the next quarter, it's much of the same, really.
Yeah. Good stuff. No, that's...
But focus on, again, I don't know how many people have started businesses or whatever, and we do get carried away with stuff, and it's dead easy now to go on Facebook or Instagram and start thinking you can create something or be like a video genius on there. If you're not good at it, don't worry about it. Get someone who is. But the thing is, I think because it costs you money, people don't like that, do they?
No, exactly. No, yeah, well, invest, you know, it's that cost or investment thing, isn't it? You know, I was just a couple of things I was going to go back on. One was just, we knew you were talking about the capacity issue, you know, where you haven't been able to grow. Are you purposefully, I guess it is sensible in a way, isn't it? It's sensible to kind of not do something, even though there might be a little bit of a demand for it. It's like not to do something that you know might work if you don't particularly have the capacity at that time. And I'll tell you why I'm that point, because that's exactly the situation what I've been in over the last couple of months, where over Christmas we decided that Beth was going to leave her job and come kind of full-time in a business. So she handed her resignation in February. She's leaving end of May, and I've got like a number of things on the bubble, you know, that are quite simply like a mastermind and another couple of bits, another inner circle for, it's like another couple of things, but I haven't pushed the button on them yet, purely for that reason, you know. It's just like a, because I know I want to do them well. And I think as well, you might back me up here, I don't know if it's just experience, like the longer you've been in business and when you've done things wrong in the past, as I have as well, it pays you so much to kind of have a 3 to 6 month viewpoint of things, doesn't it? Rather than a impulsive 3 to 6 week view of things. It's like, it's huge, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm terribly impulsive and I love that about me, but also hate that about me sometimes.
Split personality, Goss.
Yeah, I know. It does some great things, but it does some terrible things as well. As
I know what you mean, because I'm very much kind of ready, aim, fire, you know, or ready, fire, aim, whatever it is as well. And I encourage my clients to be like that. But I think certain projects, certain things that you're doing, it sometimes pays to,
I think,
to take a little step back, doesn't it?
Yeah, I agree. But also, as long as you've got that process and principle in place in your mind more than anything, this is what you are going to do. And there comes a point where you just have to, you know, relinquish it and just go for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
The pause for thought, maybe because we're getting a little bit older, mate, I don't know. But maybe it is that pause for thought all of a sudden that I've had over the last year or two of like, I know where it's going. And it, to be fair, it was, it sounds silly, but it was like an Instagram thing that I follow, a guy called Bradley, real Bradley, proper American sales guy. But he was true. And he goes,
you're a sucker for these guys, aren't you?
I love them. and it kind of resonated with me a little bit. The way he said it was so true. They said, well, how did you go from $250,000, Brad, to $25 million, you know, dollar, you know, company? And I won't do an American accent, but it's dead simple. He said, I could only do so much. And when I could only do so much, I got somebody in till they could only do so much. Mm. When they could only do so much, I got another person in till they could only do so much. And I know it sounds silly, he goes, but that's how I grew a business. Mm. Obviously, there's a lot more other stuff involved. Yeah. But the principle is the same. You can only do so much. The next person, whoever you bring in, can only do so much. It depends on your level of scale, your risk and reward, obviously, and what you're willing to do. Not everybody wants a global empire. Not everybody, you know.
No, I certainly don't.
I completely agree with, you know, I say it's a lot easier. Trust me. When it's kind of only, you know, smaller levels and you pay yourself and all that stuff, that's great. So it does depend. Not saying everybody has to go out there and kind of try and be some kind of universal hero about stuff, but again, it comes down to your levels of risk, I think.
Yeah, comfort with risk. I agree. I totally agree.
That's the key thing, really. I think how far you're going to go, how far can you take it yourself? You know, before you have to bring in, you know, even more people specialise even within your own field. You know, we've all got the grandeur thing where we want to be, you know, somebody want to be on stage or whatever. Somebody want to be hidden away but making the money, or somebody want to be creating and doing, you know, whatever it is. I don't know. We all know our.
It's good for you to know, though. I don't think a lot of people even think about that. You know, what do they want?
My little thing is, we all know our own truths. It's just actually saying it.
Yeah, absolutely, really, absolutely.
That makes sense. We all know what we really want and stuff deep down. It's just, so I think also is that vision, isn't it? Is do I think I can actually do that? Do I believe it? Am I that good? Am I that good myself that could create this business or this empire or whatever you're looking to do? Or this small, local, amazing business that everybody locally is going to love? You know, that's great. That's amazing pressure, I think, more so than a global thing.
Absolutely, yeah. It's the old It's a Wonderful Life thing, isn't it? You know, where... Yeah. I'm a big fan of that film, but you know, George, he wanted to go off and explore and build bridges and, you know, and build, you know, buildings and all this kind of thing. And yeah, he couldn't wait to get away. You know, his whole life was geared towards moving away. And then in the end, he ended up, you know, being the king of his little town, you know, as you said, you could argue was more, you know, more impactful through, well, he was, wasn't he, by the end of it, you know, from staying put. So just, I want to ask you a couple of things, Bill. What, you mentioned before about, we mentioned at the start about like sort of stepping away a little bit from the business and, you know, thinking about it a bit more strategically. And you mentioned just there now about your, you know, feeling like you can do it, you know, like feeling, you know, ready or whatever it was. How important has it been for you in the past to be involved with either just chatting to business, fellow business owners on the phone, or more formally in like a mastermind situation, or do you know what I mean? Or an informal mastermind, or whatever. How instrumental has that been to you, do you think?
I think when you surround yourself with people that are in a similar position to you, it's always never negative, by the way, even if you are on a bit of a downtime within business or something. Mm-hmm. Or you're absolutely flying. There's always going to be, if you like, inverted, you know, problems along the way. There might be good problems, by the way. Not if it's a negative thing. I think we're just inbred by the bloody media. It's not always negative, but by surrounding yourself with people, it's hard sometimes. If you're, I mean, the best.
It's a lonely place, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. If you know, if if you don't have a backup, or you don't, you know, if none of your mates are like you, or you know, people you hang about with are all people, which is nothing wrong by the way, who are, if I, you know, it sounds wrong, but like 9-to-5ers, that's, yeah. I fully respect them, don't get me wrong. Mm. I just can't be that. No. So for me, to hang about with people who are similar, not everyone's the same as you, but similar-minded, like-minded, being involved in a mastermind group or an informal group or whatever, it's kind of like, bloody hell. And someone's always got not the answer, but they can lead you down the right path. It's whether yeah. you want to go down that path.
Yeah.
And again, whether you think they're speaking crap or not is a different matter. But there's always somebody, I think, within, especially within mastermind groups, that's been there before or gone through that recently, or there's, you know, and also you'll be amazed how much you can impact other people as
absolutely,
well.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah.
We all think we're novices, regardless if you've been in business for 15 years, 50 years, or 5 months. No matter how long, you know, it's the old classic, there's, you know, it's the old bigger fish thing, isn't it? There's always someone bigger than you.
Yeah, yeah,
that mentality
yeah.
of you don't know it all and you should learn from others, then I think it's immeasurable, really, because I just believe that being with other people, and look, and then you might outgrow that bit. You might have gone to some other level. You know, I mean, blimey, you know, we can talk all day about that. I think the difference is I think if you really want to grow your business, speak to somebody that's been there, done that already.
Yeah, yeah, modelling, yeah, absolutely, yeah, yeah.
Modelling, absolutely, and, you know, of course, the mentor is always going to, you know, they're looking for themselves as well, but if they get a good mentor who's actually heart's in it, which I think is key, really, as I've got a little bit wiser and older, they can't help you all, by the way. I don't think this could be the magic pill, but I think if the mentor has actually got the right group of people as well, which is really important. Yeah. Uh-huh. I think, you know, it's like when you're in the playground or whatever, or you're in the football team, you know, you get two people that just don't buy into it. It's a battle.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think when you're doing mentor groups or coaching groups, whatever it is, the group is key, because the group will feed off each other.
Yeah.
And that's paramount, I think, to actually growing. But that comes back to the mentor and how they sent, in my opinion, I've been, you know, a few mentor groups. And I think that's how they, you know, the best ones have always been the ones that have looked at you as a person and kind of looked at each individual, yes, fair enough. But then we're there for help, we're there for guidance, we're there for encouragement, whatever you're there for, growth, whatever it is, then they've got to be fully aware of that, I think. So it all depends on what group you're doing, obviously. But I think, yeah, a lot of people, some people just want growth, business growth. I'm just here for that. I want after numbers, boom. How do I get from 1 million to 5 million? Oh, no, I've got that much investment. Great. Because that's kind of an easy, that's lovely on that one, isn't it? That's kind of an easy thing, isn't it? Some people there for much bigger things. It is a growth thing.
You say a growth as a person, isn't it, as well? Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I agree. Off tangent a little bit, what kind of a difference do you think it's made? As I mentioned at the start, you're looking svelte, you're looking slim, you're looking trim. What kind of, first of all, what have you been doing? I've seen odd pictures here and there, but you haven't sent me anything bad, but I've seen odd pictures here and there.
Hold on, what's that?
What specifically have you been doing, and how do you feel, like, what made you do it, and how do you feel that's impacted on your business and your life in general?
Yeah, definitely. So it's been pretty mind-blowing from my perspective. Listen, as you know, for the last 10, 15 years, I've been doing this business, and the most successful people via their businesses and their books have, you know, all been through that stage of getting fit again, shall we say. And I was always super duper fit up until about 33, 34, gave up the old football. And then just stopped, and I'm only a little fella, I'm only 5'8". So,
junior league.
Come back in, and I've been doing bits and bobs. It's not like I've not done anything, but I just put on weight. I put on an extra 2 stone, which is a lot when you're 5'8", you know. And it just started to show, and I just wasn't happy within myself, if I'm honest with you, as in me personally. So long story short, I was doing a bit of marketing for this kind of gym, and the guy, he double sold back to me. I thought, oh, that's good, I like that. And I was having a bit of a moan up, saying, you know what, well, I've tried, you know, I do lots of stuff, and, you know, the old classic, oh, I've got a dodgy knee, truth be told, yeah. So he said, look, come and do this for 6 weeks. So it's weight training, basically. They call it old school. It's basically weight setting day. And I was like, oh, I'm anti everything that. I'm not a weight, oh, you know, me, man, silverback, you know. I've always been like football, and I've done a bit of boxing and just to the gym and all that stuff, and loved it. A bit of camaraderie, I'm always up for that. As you think, I love being around people, you know. But anyway, he said, look, 6 weeks, they're cool. And then 3 weeks, nothing. And then the third week, I think I dropped, they're doing kilograms now, dropped 3 kilos. And it just spiraled from there. And I've lost, I think, over 2.5 stone. But the thing is, this is my natural, everyone's going, you look great.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah. No, no.
But yeah, no, I'll be fair, I'm 43 now. So I feel amazing, mate. I feel like I'm probably best shape I've ever been. I'm even getting a little kind of, you know, the old six packaroonie coming along.
Good Lord, marvellous.
But I think it goes to answer the question, put it this way, since I started that in July, business revenues have gone up 18%. Mm-hmm. My mind is sharp. I'm not as sluggish as I think I was. Mm-hmm. I don't feel as bogged down. I feel amazing, mate, if I'm honest. Mm-hmm. And the consistency level, I've been going 3 times a week.
Yeah.
It's like everything, isn't it? Confidence is an amazing thing. Mm-hmm. And even though you might come across as confident and all that stuff, and I am a confident guy, but deep down you probably, I wasn't really, you know, I was not self-loathing yourself. You think, oh, fucking hell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But when you start losing a bit, and obviously people kind of comment, and it gives you that extra, you know, spur to go on. And then obviously, like I say, with the business as well, it's kind of... whether it's a correlation, I believe it is, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah, I believe it is too, yeah. That's why, you know, that's why I'm asking, because... see, John kind of always used to preach that, didn't he, to us as well. And to be fair, a lot of the time he wasn't actually doing it himself, but he has since, I know. And just a similar kind of story, really. About 18 months ago I started, and it takes you a little while to get into it, doesn't it? As in, you know, to feel like it's a normal thing. But yeah, I mean, I've, you know, for the best part of just over a year, I've been going at least 3 times a week, usually 4. I've kept it up over sort of Christmas, and Easter, and you know, some holidays, things like that as well, which was always, I would never have done that, you know. I still could be eating and a bit better and drinking a bit less.
Yeah, but also, I'd rather do what I'm doing. Okay, yeah, I feel a lot better, and I'm aesthetically look a lot better. But also, I'm not killing
Says
myself
you.
With not going. Yeah, look at me. I'm still having a few drinks every now and again. It's not like I'm on a diet.
No. It's almost like a lifestyle now, isn't it?
Yes.
It's like, yeah.
And exactly right. And my mindset feels clear. I know it sounds crazy.
I agree. Yeah.
I really clear. And I think the vision, the hunger I've got as well, as in the hunger for business and for life a little bit, and just wanting to do more stuff is quite incredible, really. And I thought I was all, you know, I always have been that person, but the extra buzz, if you like, not like I was some kind of like that, but that kind of extra buzz I've been having from it all, and the consistency, like I say, 3 times a week, that's it. You can't, you know, regardless, and I understand that we've all got children and homes and families, and I completely get that, but it also benefits others as well.
Just 100%. I think you have to, something that I've just mentioned to a couple of my platinum guys was, there comes a, and again, this might sound really big-headed or self-aggrandizing or whatever, but I don't really care, because like what you just said, I believe it to be true. I think when you, there's a mindset shift. I always have to be careful saying that. There's a mindset shift that happens when you start to think, instead of fitting my life around what I've got going on, I'm going to kind of bend everything to fit what I want. Now, that is not to say that when you back me up here, because we both work really hard. You know, we're not talking about having a fucking laptop lifestyle, doing 2 hours a day on a fucking beach somewhere. Do you know what I mean? We put the hours in, you know, and some a lot of the time. But, you know, stuff like that, just like going to the gym, you know, if you haven't got time to make an hour, you know, 3 times a week, 4 times a week, really, even if you don't want to go to the gym, that tells you something needs to change, doesn't it? You know, John used to say this about the mastermind thing, you know, and I could say the same thing about the impact event. You know, some people, when I've been pushing impact lately, and some people are saying, you know, I haven't got time, and then you just think, well, you know what I mean? Like, if you haven't got time to come and spend 2 days to talk about your business, which is how, you know, which contributes massively to your life, something's fucking up there, you know? So whether you come to my event or whether you go to somebody else's, You fucking really need to go away and think about what's going on.
What you want to do. It's barriers. That's what it comes down to. It's barriers in your own way. We all have them. Everybody has them. I think, like, nowadays, people are willing to talk about stuff more as well, which is really cool. But we all have certain barriers, certain limitations, whatever that is. And I'm sure some shrinks could have a go on everybody and, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think until you start just thinking, you know what, fuck it. I am going to go to that event. Yes, it's going to cost you a quid or whatever the cost. As long as you go with the right premise of, I want to learn something here and implement something here, not just sit there for 2 days and have a look. And look, blimey, I love a social me. But as in, and that's where I've gone wrong before. I've kind of like, I've gone there and I love stuff. And and also you meet people. This is people forget about events. Uh-huh. The same thing as like the masterminds, whatever. You get to meet people. Uh-huh. You don't have to be some social butterfly, because I'm not, I am when I get to know
If anything, it's the other way, isn't it, really? People who tend to do that type of thing there.
Yeah. And it's a case of, as long as you go with the right, they say, and you think, you know what? Ask yourself the questions, like, do I really want my business to work for me and the family or whatever your goal is? Yes or no. Simple. Uh-huh. Do I want to achieve what I've set out and put all this hard work into? Yes or no. And if the answer is all yes, then it's obviously leading to it. They're all no, then fucking give up, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's simple as that. You don't get any medals for it at the end of the day. It's a case of just be honest with yourself a little bit more and kind of say, look, this is what I want. This is what I want to achieve. And there's going to be a lot of work involved. That's what people don't like. like with family and stuff, you know, you've got to have people around you that understand that. Because it's difficult otherwise. So you need to, it's tricky. Like I say, you know, you don't go out to upset people and stuff when your vision comes in, and you're not there to piss people off either. But if you're like us, as it were, you can't help it. That's the way you are. You're there to kind of create and give the best you can, and there's nothing, don't apologize for that either.
No, definitely not. No. And I think, For me, definitely the fitness thing, it's been it's been a bit of a game changer, to use that horrible phrase.
I'll be honest with you, I think we're both on the same levels. I think it's just, it's changed me. I say it's changed me. I think it's brought me back. That sounds very a little bit. Mm.
From the wilderness.
Yeah, to who I am a little bit. And I think that's the key for me. And it's weird when you start saying it to some people, they don't get it. And it's a bit like, you sound like you're some kind of gone off. You know, I'm a bit mad as it is, but people think I'm completely gone off. But that's how I feel. I just feel, I think, like I say, from an aesthetic point of view, I'm what I should be, as it were. I've always thought that. This is what I should be anyway. So that, again, that gives me a massive tick from my own personal self, if that makes sense, and personal. And then I think up there is a key thing, more than anything.
Yeah. So the mental, so all right, let's talk about that then. So, because we talked about barriers and stuff, and we're not going to go deep into it because we're not qualified, but what kind of a difference has it done with the physical stuff to help you with the mental side of things, you know? And what else do you do, or what else could you do more of or are you in a pretty good place? You sound like you are, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Well, there's lots of, I think from the mindset point of view, I think it does exercise, and the confidence that it's given because of, you know, you losing a bit of weight. And I mean, I wasn't some kind of fat bastard, but I was unhappy with the way I looked, you know. I think the confidence levels within inside me has really gone up again. And from the mindset, it's just clarity. I know it sounds a little bit cheesy, but I have real good clarity now of what I want to do, the vision I want to do. It's given me the confidence to do it. I've always wanted to do the more and more stuff, but I think by doing the physical has kind of relax the barriers and so on. Oh, fuck it, Bill. I've always had a fuck it attitude, but I've probably been a bit more reserved in the last few years than what I was before. So I think, it's more that. Just do it. What's the worst that can happen? You know, joking aside.
What's the worst that can happen with what we do in business? Some, you know, people won't buy. Well, fucking hell. That's terrible, isn't it? You know?
Exactly. And I think so many people, we overthink things, and I do, like, you know, a big overthinker, and you think, well, not a complete, like, oh, well, fuck it, who cares? But that kind of like, well, ask a question. It's either yes or no.
Yeah,
you know, I'm taught in sales like you, Dom. You know, it's that kind of like, going back to real simple principles. Can you help someone? Yes. How do you help them? You help them this way. Do they want it? Yes or no? And it's, I mean, if you break it down, you become a lot more relaxed within yourself.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
bizarrely, the sales come in easier.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not as tense, you're not as stressed, you're not as, and that all goes back to fitness levels and definitely how you think. And I think that's a correlation with being fit, you know, physically fit as well as mind fit. But it's true, you know, it's like sharper in the mind. You feel a lot better.
Very good, mate. Very good. Right, so finish off then, because I've took a bit more of your time than I wanted. Not that I wanted, but that we agreed upon. How are we feeling about the future then? What do you see? Oh, let's talk about books quickly. Are we seeing any changes with the book world? Are we seeing any?
We've seen it as a complete resurgence as it has been since 2015.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, absolutely. Because I think everyone's twigged on to like, wow, you know, people, yes, do the ebook, absolutely do audio, absolutely. Do the physical as well. Do all of it. Because our thirst for knowledge still is just growing and growing and growing. If you write good content, as you know, especially as you know, it helps. Guess what? You know. So from our point of view, yes. And obviously we're adding on more layers to the service than what we've ever done. Mm-hmm. I think that will gradually this time next year would be a completely different type of company maybe, but still the principles will always be the same. Use a book, use it to lead generate, use it to be an expert, authority, credibility, boom. You know, it's I don't think that principle's never going to go away. It's been there donkey's years, obviously. So, you know, we did have that little downfall in the early 10s, whatever you want to call it, with the rise of the ebook. But they just, it's all leveled out like it would do. You know? And the thirst for knowledge is always going to be there. Some people love ebooks. Like, look, I love audio. I love all that books. And then the printed book as well. So I think if you do all the combinations that are available to you, get it out there. Get your content out there. Don't be scared of it.
And repurpose it many different ways. No, definitely,
webinars. Oh, we could go on for that stuff.
Yeah, well, we do all, don't we? So, you know, this is, you know, there is no silver bullet, is there? There's just a gunful of them. Just very quickly, just want to touch in case many of my guys missed that there. Bill talked there about, obviously, we've talked about some of the stuff that he's now doing and that he's tried and that's working and he's doing more of it. And this time next year, he's saying that he thinks the business, if all goes to plan, and some things won't and some things will go better than what he plans, but he sees the business as being a different kind of business than what it is now, you know? And I think that kind of evolution, that is where, when you're trying new things, when you've got this confidence, when you fix the fundamentals of your own business as well, this is ultimately where kind of business is supposed to go, you know? Businesses are supposed to, like, reinvent themselves. They're supposed to, you know, well, they are, aren't they? It's like Dan Kennedy 101, isn't it? You know, I mean, look at my thing, you know, with the walking and the boarding and the training, and then I did the store and that was a fucking disaster. And so then I learned about marketing, and then, do you know what I mean? And then the speaking and the authorship, do you know what I mean? And it's just like, and like, this is how it's supposed to go, you know? So if you fit, but you won't, again, you kind of won't, you won't even see any of these possibilities because they exist for everybody. You won't even see any of these possibilities until you kind of fix the fundamentals and you start taking a bit of time out of the business really as well. Would you agree?
Absolutely. If you can, I know it's really hard and it does.
It is, but even if you have to have the intention, Bill, don't you? You know, you can't, even if you say, you know, right, in 3 months' time, I'm going to fix this. Yeah. I'm going to get rid of that shitty client. I'm going to,
go to a coffee shop with a jotter pad.
Yeah.
Get yourself a coffee or whatever. And it's really hard for someone like me as well. But just put that down for even 10 minutes. That's all. And just give yourself time, 10 minutes, and just write down 3 things for the moment. That's all. That's all I've done, just to get that clarity of what do I want to do? And it's real basic stuff. It's always numbers for me. I love my numbers. How do I get them numbers? What can I do to get them numbers? As in, how can I make this better? Uh-huh. We've got 3 simple questions. I know it sounds a little bit, but that's all I asked myself was, how can I make things better? How can I give things better to people, as it were? You know, what services do people really want from me, and can I deliver that? And I just mapped it out from there. And it's just like, so, you know, I wanted to get to X number of, you know, 100,000, an extra kind of 300,000-400,000 turnover to get to, like, the, you know, roughly the £1 million barrier. How do I do that? You know, so, right, okay. Well, again, numbers are easy. You can put numbers down. Oh, they look great. But how do you do that?
How do you do that? Yeah, yeah. But that's a great place to start, isn't it? You know, yeah. Like, and even if you're just, you know, even if you're somebody who wants to go from earning 20 to 25,000, or you know, earning 50 to 70, it's the principle's exactly the same, isn't it? You know,
if you write it down on a jotter like I do, and just say, right, I need to, like, I want to earn an extra £20,000. I know it sounds silly, and you've got services or products. Work that out yourself, but then how do you do that? Mm-hmm. And once you kind of work that out, you'll get levels of how much you're willing to invest in that, or how much time are you willing to invest in that if you haven't got the financial resources? You know, what are you going to have to do? How are you going to be smarter than people in your kind of area of expertise? You know, they might have deep pockets you might not have. So you've got to be super smart. Mm-hmm. You know, we've all got these, right? Ask your clients to put a nice little video testimony. You know, simple stuff that's free.
Yeah.
Ask a question. People don't ask enough.
No, they don't. Interesting that you mentioned that the pad, the jotter thing, because that's a huge part of what I teach inside of my Platinum and Diamond groups and the Mastermind. Yeah, I call it the piece of paper exercise, you know, they have to do it every 90 days, you know, and sometimes when people come to me with an idea, you know, I'll just say, well, you go away and do a piece of paper exercise on it, and then, and it just, you know, it's the old ways are the best.
I know.
Brilliant. Hey, Bill, where can, it reminds me actually, Bill, I've got a bit more of a publishing push planned for the second half of the year. So, two books last year from me, but, none so far this year. I need to get a wiggle on. It's going to be cracking the whip for me, aren't you? Where can people go to find out more about you and how you can help them? Because obviously I've got a few of my clients who've used you to publish and stuff.
I've done really good. Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah. If you go to elitepublishingacademy.com, we're on there. We're on Facebook, elitepublishingacademy.com. Instagram is Bill Goss. Dom's on there. So yeah, we do a lot on Instagram now, if I'm honest with you. Insta seems to be doing really well. Again, that's just social profile. Put content out there, put nice pictures out there, you know, but do something, you know.
Do something, for fuck's sake. Brilliant, mate. All right, Bill, I'm going to press stop now. So thanks very much for that, my friend. That was absolutely fantastic. And I'll speak to you again sometime.
Cheers, mate.